Wayne Duvenage has dealt with a lot of appalling things in his time. He is the chief executive of Outer and a school friend of mine. Let's you know, full disclosure, Wayne, we're both from Newcastle High many, many years ago. You've been shaking up South Africa ever since you started or helped to start Outer, the organization opposing tax abuse. You guys had a big day yesterday with two focus areas, and I'd love you to take us through both of them, starting off with the Eskom, or the proposed Eskom hike of 66% over the next 3 years, remembering that it's just got a hike of 3 times the inflation rate for the current year. Just give us at the nub of your argument appears to be they are calculating, or they're approaching this like a public sector organization. We'll charge what we want. We won't be efficient. We charge what we pay what we want with our costs, and then we'll get the money in from the public rather than becoming more efficient.
Yeah, and that's the nub of our submission, and it has been for some time, Alec. You're right, from the multi-year price determination model that they put in place a number of years ago, NYPD1, we're now on NYPD6, and I think you know, if you go back to about 2007, 2008, when it all really started getting out of hand, is with the Medupi and the Kusile tenders that had gone out, and they were going ahead with these constructions, and we could see that they were losing control, and we were making submissions to NERSA to say your role as the regulator is to start putting pressure on Eskom to get its costs in orders, because, you know, those power stations were budgeted at around 70 billion rand each, and they, I think they run 3 times that. Headcounts grew by 50% from 32,000 to just under 50,000 staff, yet there were no additional electrons being put into the grid over that time, as people started to feel the rising costs and the economy was under constraints. So, yeah, we think, you know, NERSA has really dropped the ball over that decade of from about 2007 to 2018, and it just lives on now, and we just see this constant request for more money, Eskom's in a death spiral. So we are saying, you know, you've got to control your primary energy costs, you've got to bring them down. You know, you've gone from a tied corollary, the mines that were tied to the power stations, you moved away from that. Sadly, that was Brian Molefe's biggest mistake, where he said he didn't want to own the bakery, he just wanted to buy the bread. Well, if you do buy all the bread from the bakery, best you own the bakery every time, because now we find ourselves as Eskom, you know, locked into these massive contracts. But they've got to work their way out of them. They've got to get their head costs and manpower costs down, and right, their productivity has to go up. And of course, they're battling with some maintenance costs, which were neglected for so long. So that's gone up, and they're getting some of that under control. But what you have now, Alec, is 6,000 megawatts gone off grid, with literally Eskom forcing the public to privatize and do their own energy, find their own energy solutions. And that's coming back to haunt them. They aren't going to be able to sell more electrons. They've got these massive costs still, and not controlling them. And so they turn to NERSA and say, well, we have to cover our costs, so we want these massive increases. It just is on a downward spiral. It's a death spiral right now. And the poorest of the poor, and those who cannot afford to find their own solutions, are going to suffer the most. And something has to change. And that's why we have put our submission in again to say, you know, you really have to get Eskom, which you should have been doing for a long time now, to become serious about focusing on the reduction of their costs.
As a taxpayer, what kind of sticks in the craw most is that the Treasury has given Eskom 500 billion rand to pay off debts, taxpayers' money. So it's our taxes that are there, which have, in fact, the Treasury's had to borrow the money to give to Eskom to pay off debts. But we're not seeing this reflected in the cost increases that Eskom wants. If there had been no recovery from the Treasury, if Treasury had not given this bailout to Eskom, would Eskom have been able to survive as we sit right now, quite apart from sitting there and demanding a 36% electricity increase this year? I think that's kind of the thing that confuses many.
Yeah, look, they wouldn't be able to survive. They wouldn't be able to pay their suppliers, their salaries. So the government was in a difficult situation. They had no choice but to start settling or covering some of these massive debts that Eskom had got into over the years. And I think we also, got to ask how and why did they get into these massive increased debts? And that was because government was backing those bonds back then. And they showed this massive suddenly revaluation of all their assets, which made it look good. The balance sheet looked good, and they were giving good returns on those bonds. And the lending public said, well, how much do you want? And gave them what they needed. Now, if government's going to back those guarantees, which they shouldn't have, and should have put Eskom under pressure to control its costs, then they're going to have to do exactly what they've done. They're going to have to bail the Eskom out to that extent. So this is a classic case of poor management, poor leadership, poor understanding of the complexities of running massive organizations like this, putting people into positions of power or leadership that were unfit to run those organizations for far too long, taking the eye off the ball of maintenance, and the system comes down. And now we, the taxpayer, and remember, government doesn't bail anyone out. We do, just under their instructions, have got to just live with this. And we're going to live with it for a long time. And I don't know how we're going to correct the Eskom situation, because these, I think Eskom in the long run, if you look forward a decade, 2 decades from now, as it mothballs its old assets, coal-fired power stations, it really is just going to be buying energy from the private sector, something it resisted for so long but now has no choice, because green energy and other efficient energy suppliers are going to provide this electricity far cheaper than Eskom ever could.
And you're going to be sitting with a lot of people, many of them cadres deployed there, who are going to be drawing salaries for the position they've put us in. But let's move across to water now, Wayne. You guys have also been focusing on that for some time, warning us that that's the next big problem. And we did have the Minister of Water Affairs, the new Minister of Water Affairs, Pemi Mojadina, telling us that she would be, giving us her 100-day feedback. From the statement that you guys put out, you say, well, that's cool. You know where the problems are, but they're not getting much better. Just unpack for us.
Yeah. Alec, we started WaterCAN, that's Water Community Action Network, a couple of years ago because I think Dr. Farrell Adams, who's been with us for some time, is a specialist in this space. And we've decided to also look at providing solutions and unpacking how do we fix this issue, because it has been looming for some time. And so our citizen science approach is to get, if we can't rely on government to do the green drop and blue drop reports and get a good picture of what the quality of our water situation is, then let's get the people to do that. Let's get citizens active. And we provide these test kits across the country, and we start to measure. So that was the nub of the exercise. It continues to grow. We're developing and upgrading the water heat map now, and we've been following what has been happening. And the concerns are that you've got this disparity between local government, where it controls the wastewater treatment plants, the reservoirs, the management of water, and national government trying to do all its best to protect the country from a disaster, and dealing with the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, which Nomvula Mokonyane sat on her hands for 5 years and did nothing and set us back for so long. And then dam construction and making sure that we've got the reserves that we need to supply a very thirsty country, and yet we don't have the reserves. So we are, as a country, not conscious of water saving, first of all, as consumers, and as municipalities, we are not conscious of maintaining water infrastructure and being efficient about it. And so we are losing so much in leaks. And it's sad that you sit in a city like Johannesburg and the cities in Gauteng that have this massive problem. And again, it goes to the same Eskom problem and so much else that we do wrong in government. And that is we think that if we can't see the leaks, they're underground. If we can't see what poor maintenance does over time and it catches up with you, and that's really where we are. So if we're not going to maintain our infrastructure, the leaks get worse and worse, the roads get worse and worse, the potholes get worse, and then you say, oops, gee, we've got a problem. Well, we've been saying this for some time. We have a serious problem on all fronts. But in the water space, we have got a dire situation. Our national government, and Tunu was very good. We like the fact that he's gone to the police because it's a big problem to sort out there. He is a type of minister that can get down to business. Then the new minister is realizing that she's got to take this baton. And we think that she has to set up new you sort of almost special purpose vehicles to manage wastewater treatment plants, because municipalities just don't give a damn, quite frankly. Raw sewage pumping into our rivers is not a problem for them. They'd rather spend a Mogale City money on building a new civic center than fix the wastewater treatment plant, which is causing chaos through the Cradle of Humankind, a World Heritage site which will lose its listing if we're not careful, and ruins people's lives downstream. So at a national level, the minister realizes that there's a lot of work, and now national government has to find a way to usurp the powers, which the laws don't allow them to, usurping the executive powers of local government. And if we don't find this solution and quickly, local government's just going to say, we don't have the money to fix the leaks, to fix the wastewater treatment plants. And national government say, well, we're going to try and get the funds and help you, and international funding might have to come in. But we need to take control of it. We cannot leave the control in the hands of municipalities. That's our biggest challenge right now.
Wayne Duvenage is the chief executive of OUTA, the organization that attacks tax abuse. And I strongly recommend that you support them in any way that you can. They take donations of $100 a month. Some of the information that comes out of OUTA is quite sensational. I've got some in yesterday's report. They spoke about some of my old stamping grounds in the south of Johannesburg, South Hills and Lynnmeyer, who haven't had water for 10 days, and that the reservoir has been dry for over a year. There's lots needed to fix South Africa. We can do it, thanks to people like OUTA. I'm Alec Hogg from our team of technical producer Ruan Erasmus, executive producer Lucy Ferreira, and yours truly, until tomorrow at 7. Cheerio.